Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette. I'm with Action International Ministries Uganda, and it's our joy to be together once again this Lord's Day morning. My friends, we're continuing in Ephesians chapter 2 in the Holy Bible, and we're discovering wonderful truths there about God's grace, His unmerited favor, His blessing of forgiveness of sins and the bestowing of eternal life upon all of His children, those who truly believe in Him and repent of their sins, all by the grace of God, all of free blessing, all that comes to us because Jesus has loved us and given His life as a ransom for us. How wonderful and deep the love of God is. How awesome is His grace, my friends. And so we stand in amazement before God again this Lord's Day morning as the grace of God is revealed to us in the text, the Holy Bible in Ephesians chapter 2. And I pray that your soul will be blessed as my soul has been blessed as we behold by faith the crucified and the risen, glorious Lord Jesus Christ. It is through Him that we have come to God, and we behold God in His glory, a gracious and compassionate and merciful God, the God who saves His people. And so, my friends, I'm excited to continue in the text with you this morning. Let us now pray and seek our God's favor once again. God, we do cry out, our Father, for grace and blessing, for your favor, which we do not deserve, because we are very sinful people. But, Lord, we cry out for your blessing once again, that you will give us grace through the Word of God and open our hearts to the wonders of your grace, all for your glory. And we will return to you thanksgiving and praise. And Lord, we will bless you because you have blessed us ultimately and perfectly and completely in your great work of saving us. Lord, we are your children. We know you and we see you by faith, and we praise you, the living God, once again this Lord's Day morning, this day in which we especially remember your free gift of grace and salvation to us. And so bless your holy word. That's what we need most of all now, Lord, and we trust you that you will, and so we rejoice in the grace of God, all to the praise of your glorious grace. Have your glory today, our Father, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. And so, my friends, let's continue now in Ephesians chapter 2, and let me begin reading in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. My friends, this is the Word of God found in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 4 through verse 10. May the Lord add His gracious blessings to the Word that we have just received. And so, my friends, God's awesome, powerful, saving grace is brought before us in our text again this morning. And as we read these verses and as we begin to think more deeply about these truths, as we worship the Lord, as we are engaged in hearing His voice in the Bible, as truth fills our hearts and minds and we are once again enlightened and illuminated, by the precious truth that's before us, as we receive teaching from God, instruction in righteousness about the wonders of His grace, as we see what God has done in His awesome nature, we are led to glorify God. And we are led by His grace, by His good Spirit, to love God with all of our hearts, minds, soul, and strength. And we are enabled by this precious grace to give Him the glory in worship that He is truly due. He is worthy. And by His grace, God's worth has been revealed to us. And in return, in response, we declare His great worth. We worship Him. That's really what that word worship means. It means to declare the value, the worth of God. And so God alone is to be worshiped because God alone is worthy of worship. By His grace, we see in the text that God has shown us marvelous kindness. He has shown us the exceeding riches of His grace in saving us. He has loved us in His great love. He has shown us rich mercy. And this has happened because God wants to express to us His grace and kindness. And we rejoice this Lord's Day morning to remember again that this is God's heart's desire towards us. He truly desires to express His grace, this unmerited favor that saves us from awful eternal destruction. And He desires to express to us kindness. God, who is love, shows us His favor and His love in this way. Praise God. And so we are the blessed recipients of God's heart's desire to show grace and kindness to men, to His children. What an awesome grace this is. And we want to reflect upon the truth this morning that this awesome grace comes to us freely, and it comes to us entirely as a gift. It is not a work that we can do that will earn for us God's grace. No, this favor, this bestowing of saving love, this showing of mercy to sinners, this kindness now and forever that God has desired to express to us, that He will express to us for eternal ages, comes to us as a free gift. And we find ourselves before the cross again by faith, marveling in the exceeding riches of His grace. That in Christ Jesus, God would show us such a free and perfect gift. It is by grace that we have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so let's consider the awesome truth that this grace comes to us freely. Freely we are the recipients of grace. Freely God bestows grace upon us. We find in Romans 5:16 that this free gift has come to men. And in 5:18, once again the truth is reiterated, it is a free gift of salvation that comes upon all men. That is, not every man is saved, but all types of men are the blessed recipients of the gospel expression. Men received the good news, and the elect are saved. This is the free gift of God. And we find in Romans 6:18 that we have been made free from sin. We find in Romans 6:20 that we were free from righteousness, but the grace of God has now made us, in Romans 6:22, to be free from sin. This is liberating grace. This is freeing grace. All that would bind us to death has been broken from us. We are free, free indeed. So that, my friends, in a real sense, Paul declares that we have been made free from the law of sin in Romans 8:2. That law, that principle, that because we had sinned, we were under condemnation and must be punished by an angry God. That principle has been broken. We have been freed from that. All in the grace of God, there is no condemnation now to those who are in Christ Jesus. We are free indeed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. And we find in Galatians 4:26 that the Jerusalem which is above is free, liberated by the grace of God. Now, again, let's just consider for a moment and let us allow this truth to settle in our hearts a bit. That this most marvelous of blessings has brought to us freedom and liberty. We find in Galatians 5:1 that Christ has made us free, and that all men in Colossians 3:11, that is, all types of men, have been freed through the crosswork of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, we find that God has brought us into a marvelous state of liberty. We call this Christian liberty. So that because a free gift has come to us, been bestowed upon us, because we have merely received freely from God's hands at no cost to ourselves, this most marvelous gift of the saving grace of God. So it is that we have become liberated in Christ Jesus. He paid the price for our freedom. He ransomed himself to set us free. There was a cost involved in our coming into such marvelous freedom to receive a free gift from God, and Christ Jesus paid that price for us. He died in our place. His blood was given for ours. Amen. He is our substitute. All in the grace of God. And this is God's marvelous way to freely bestow upon undeserving sinners his marvelous grace, so that we are brought into this state of true spiritual liberation, free in Christ. He whom the Son makes free is free indeed, and has received freely, not by works, this marvelous grace which saves us through faith. And so, my friends, let's also consider this morning the glorious truth that this grace of God that has come to us is a gift from God. It is a free gift. It is freely given. It brings us into freedom, true freedom indeed, and it comes to us as a gift. That is, God, who is able to give through his Son Jesus Christ forgiveness of sins and eternal and blessed salvation, has given to men, has given to us the gift that we so desperately need, and that we cannot acquire in our own works. Grace comes, and it must come because of the nature of grace. It is unmerited favor as a gift. Grace's nature is that it comes as a gift. And this most needed gift, in fact, the greatest need of mankind, my friends, is for saving grace. And this greatest need that mankind has been answered in the giving of God's gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the gift of salvation. Praise the Lord. And so we see, my friends, that Jesus tells us in John 4:10 about the gift of God, which is eternal life. We find in Acts 2:38 that there is the giving of God's Holy Ghost, which is a gift. Praise the Lord. We find again in Acts 10:45, my friends, that there is a gift that is given. In Romans 1:11, a gift that is given, which is a free gift and a spiritual gift. We also find that in Romans 5:15. We are saved by the gift of grace. It is a free gift in Romans 5:16, which comes to many, the gift of righteousness, Romans 5:17. A free gift that comes upon all men, again, all types of men, Romans 5:18. The gift of God is eternal life in Romans 6:23. Praise the Lord. And with salvation and eternal life, God bestows spiritual gifts upon us so that we have all received the gift, according to 2 Corinthians 8:4, of forgiveness of sins, an unspeakably great gift in 2 Corinthians 9:15. Ephesians 2:8 here, we see that it is called the gift of God. And in Ephesians 3:7, according to the gift of the grace. Ephesians 4:7, the measure of the gift of Christ. Praise the Lord, my friends. And Jesus himself is revealed to us in Scripture as God's gift to us. Praise the Lord. And so, my friends, this is so wonderful, isn't it? All that we truly need comes to us at no cost. In fact, it is impossible for us to pay the price to receive all that we truly need, the saving grace of God. But God freely has given it to us. And in his freeness, he has brought us into freedom indeed, into this liberty through the gift of God. His nature, my friends, has become our blessing. We come to know him. He is free. God is not restrained in any way. And so we come to see his free nature, and we come to receive from his hand of freedom this free gift. We freely receive it at no cost to ourselves. God has paid the price himself for our freedom. He sets us free in Christ Jesus. All of this marvelous blessing comes as a free gift to us. And I want to quickly make a simple application and share a simple illustration with you about the glory of this free gift that comes to us sinners, which meets our every need and which fills us with joy and delight in God, which fills our hearts with peace and happiness in God, with the love of God that truly makes us well, all coming from the love of God for us. My friends, I was born in America, and as a young child, we often celebrated, in fact, we always celebrated Christmas in some fashion. Sometimes we celebrated that more fully in our way than at other times, depending upon how well the family was doing financially. But we always enjoyed at least some giving of gifts at Christmas, sometimes very small gifts, other times larger gifts. And I wasn't born into a Christian family. My parents were not saved. I was not saved. My brother and sister were not saved. But it was always with great excitement as a young child that I looked forward to Christmas or to my birthday, another time of giving of gifts, or to mom and dad's birthday or my brother and sister's birthday when we would share gifts with one another. And it was always a very exciting and enjoyable time for us because of the pleasure that we would all enjoy when the one who received the gifts opened their gifts and found this expression of love. That was particularly heightened at Christmas time because usually there were many gifts And there was a great deal of thought and expression during the Christmas season that we should enjoy these gifts that we had received, that we had gotten, that were given to us, and that we should really fully enjoy them. And I remember my mom and dad meeting early with us there, the kids, near the Christmas tree. And mom and dad somehow, too, were affected with great happiness and joy to share in the receiving of gifts and the giving of gifts. And perhaps you can relate to that simple illustration, and perhaps you can relate to the application that I'm going to now make for us. And that is that if it is that the simple giving and receiving of earthly gifts in this way is something that touches our hearts so deeply, how much more deeply and fully does the very gift of God, Jesus Christ himself, touch our hearts when we receive the gift of Jesus Christ and eternal salvation? So marvelous. This is too wonderful for words. I can't describe the glory, the blessing here very well, my friends. But we rejoice that the greatest possible gift, God's giving of himself to us in love and salvation, we have freely received. And God, who is blessed above all, is the blessed giver of his Son, the good gift that we need. And Jesus comes to us in his wonderful gospel declaration, the good news that there is freedom from sin, there is forgiveness of all sin, and the giving of eternal life and the fullness of joy to every sinner who will simply, like that child before the presence there, gathered together with the family, will take the gift in his hand. We, like children, simply receive the gift of God by trusting Jesus Christ and by committing our lives to him, and we have been truly gifted by God. God gives the free gift. We receive the gift freely. We are made free in the gift. We are saved from our sins. And once again, this all comes to us as a gift, freely given as undeserved favor. Paul tells us in the text so clearly there in verse 8, my friends, that we are not saved by works. That is, our attempts to earn righteousness or earn favor from God. It is not possible because we are born as sinners with a sinful nature and therefore we are disqualified from salvation by works. And it is not possible for us to be saved through our works because we constantly sin in this world. And that also disqualifies us from salvation by works. To be saved by works means that a human being must be born into this world without a sinful nature and must never sin even once in his thinking, desire, in his actions or words in his lifetime. To be saved by works means that a man must render perfect obedience. He must be perfectly holy. He must have a perfect nature. He must be perfectly obedient to the law of God. That man is saved by his works, and that man alone. And so we see clearly that none of us can be saved by our works. It is not possible. If we could boast that we have done that which God requires, and so we have met the standard and we are saved by our own righteousness. But I think you must agree with me this morning that we are all born in Adam as sinners with a sinful nature, and that we all have sinned constantly from our birth into this world, that we sin daily, so that it is not possible for us to be saved by our efforts, by our works, by our self-righteousness. And so wonderfully, God shows us this truth. We come to see in our hearts that we are unable to save ourselves. We are unable, because of our sin, to live a righteous life before God. That we are hopelessly lost in sin if we seek to save ourselves. And we begin to see the glory of Christ, because Christ was born without a sinful nature, and Christ did obey the law of God in every respect, every moment of his life in this world. And then he gave up the ghost. He died having lived a perfect life, so that we can trust him, and his righteousness is counted as ours, so that we receive the free gift, the free grace of the living God. And so, my friends, trust in Christ with all of your heart, and you shall be saved. And let us rejoice today that God has gifted men with salvation. Amen. Father, we thank you for this precious truth, the freeness of your grace, that it brings us into a state of liberty and freedom, Lord, true freedom. And we thank you that you have given this to us, because you are the great giver of good gifts to men, especially the gift of saving grace. And we open our hands, our hearts, to simply receive, as those who are the recipients of this great gift, your gift. We trust you for it, and we take it by faith. And we love you, Lord, and we thank you. We trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.